Welcome to Not Terrible.
I'm Jess Hooker.
And I'm Mary Graham. This is episode 6 of the Not Terrible podcast. Today we're diving into the world of adult friends, how to make them, how to maintain them, and when it's time to let friends go. We'll talk about the challenges of creating new friendships in a world that seems too busy for friends. Not Terrible, a field guide for the hopeless optimist. I recently made a new mom friend. My 7-year-old daughter Harper has a little friend from Girl Scouts that she's really hit it off with, and we picked the little girl up for gymnastics this summer, gymnastics camp. The mom and dad are really nice. I just kind of knew the mom. Well, I finally figured out who the dad was, and I live in a small town. Everyone, like, you've seen everyone before. That's just the way it works. And I realized that the dad is a mechanic that worked on my car, but I'm afraid to tell him I remember him because I'm living in the town that my parents grew up in. This place that I take my car to used to be owned by some friends of my parents. So this mechanic guy came out, and without even thinking that he looks the exact same age as I do, I asked him if he was my friend's parents and if he knew my mom and dad. And like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I didn't even register, like, you know what? You probably look about 35. But I was like, hey, do you own this? Like, we were just talking. And he was like, yeah, I'm not that old. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, also, please don't charge me extra for fixing my car. And then, like, 2 weeks later, I realized that it's Harper's friend's dad. And I have not been able to make eye contact, or I'm so afraid to be their friends now because I insinuated that he was 60. And he doesn't look 60. He looks completely appropriately aged at 35.
Not like lived a rough life.
And no, like, yeah. Normal. Like, we would have been friends. But I ruined it by insulting him about his age.
And he still doesn't know that you're Harper's mom? Or he does know?
I don't know if he's made the connection that I was that asshole that inferred that he was really old when she was getting her car fixed, because then, like, slowly through the months, we've become friends.
Right.
I've become friends with the mom, and he doesn't come to Girl Scouts, so that's why I have a hard time making adult friends, is because I say really stupid things when I get nervous. I don't get nervous very often, but I was just, like, trying to make small talk and, like, mm-hmm. please fix my car. That's why I can't have new friends.
I don't know what I'm just... I think we've talked about this before where, like, I don't know if I'm an introvert. If you just met me, you would be like, obviously not. And it's like, yeah, but do you know the time that goes into me actually having to be in public and be around, like, the mental prep that it takes?
Yeah.
So the idea to meet someone new is that's exhausting enough. Like, to actually have to go out and meet new people, that's hard. Because usually I'm going to go, why do I need to be friends with these people? Like, eventually we're going to disagree on something, and then we're going to get in a fight, and it's going to be weird, and then we'll never talk again. So why would I even put the energy into meeting someone new?
That's an extreme jump.
It is, but that's how, yeah.
That's what your brain says. Yes.
Yeah, it's a worst case scenario. You're going to say something, they're going to hate you, and this will all be over. All right. Well, see, I was able to relive this friendship in 7 seconds and not have to leave my house. Yeah.
So I would not describe you as an introvert, but do you know what an ambivert is?
Don't.
It's where you kind of, like, straddle the line of extrovert and introvert.
Yeah.
Where you can, I guess, based on the situation.
Oh, okay.
Kind of do both.
Right.
But you're not, like, extreme.
That's probably
extrovert.
That's probably more right.
I don't know. Because I don't see.
No, I could. Obviously, you wouldn't. But I think that I've also known you for more than half my life. So.
Right. So it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. I was at a family gathering, like, last year, and my aunt had mentioned to me, she had read something I had written and said, she was telling me that she was an introvert too. And you don't think of your family members that you've grown up with or, mm-hmm. like, been around your whole life in terms of introvert or extrovert. Like, I don't, I know that my dad's an introvert and my mom is an extrovert, but my aunt said, well, I'm an introvert. And my grandma heard her and she said, no, you're not. And like, it's hard for people that have known you for a long time to be objective about.
Right.
Because I'm an introvert, but I'm not shy. Right. So like those things kind of sometimes go together and they shouldn't. I'm not nervous to speak. I just don't want to speak.
Right. Right.
To you.
Right. I think at this point in life, I've met the majority of my newest friends are parent friends. And they're actually the majority of them are from my son's grade. Because that's kind of like when you're just pushed into this completely new environment. And it's kindergarten. We're all standing around at the roundup and, you know, sizing everybody up and... Well, that kid's fingernails need to be trimmed, and so we're not going to be friends with him.
It's dirty.
No. Well, that's kind of true. But I just don't have any desire to meet new people. Even when friends bring new friends to gatherings, and they're like, oh, I'm going to bring so-and-so, and why do you have to do that?
That sounds exhausting.
So now I have, like, I'm clear, like, this is a OG friends gathering. There are no additionals. I don't care if she's going through a divorce. I don't care. Don't bring her. And I know that that's rude, but I'm very, very comfortable with the friends I have. But then occasionally I get a new friend kind of like, oh, hey.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's not always bad. But man, I'm very resistant.
As an introvert, my tendency is to just stay at home, and making new friends does sound exhausting. And also, as an adult who has kids and family and obligation, there's not time for new friends. Like, mm-mm. to maintain a friendship, that takes work.
It takes a lot of work. And there are, I mean, I have friends that I've been friends with forever. And sometimes those friendships are too much work. I'm probably not a good friend. Unless you need food or you're in crisis, I suck. Or if we're going to play cards and gossip and stuff, then I'll show up. But other than that, no, I guess that doesn't make me a bad friend. But I've never been a fan of the friendship that we have to talk every day.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like a lot for me. So maybe I'm the majority of the week I'm an introvert, but then
the weekend comes
or, you know, I don't know. But like, even the idea, this goes into like agoraphobia or something like that. But it's like, there's times where it's like, you've been pushing 72 hours and you haven't left the house. I don't get stir crazy like that.
I don't either. And we've talked about that off the air before too, of like, I've made my home really cozy and exactly what I want it to be. And it serves all my needs and all my purposes. So I don't want to leave. And if someone could bring me Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A every once in a while, I wouldn't leave. Like, yeah. I'd have my groceries delivered.
Yeah.
Amazon brings everything to my house.
Mm-hmm. Toilet paper, use paper towels.
Right.
Be here tomorrow.
Rinse it off and move on with your day.
Well, I was thinking about all the other ways. Like I said, we meet parent friends. Like, that's usually the first place. Or mom friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a rule that my friend Hillary introduced to me, like, at the beginning of school of my oldest. And it was like, moms text moms and dads text dads, or everybody's on a group text. Dads don't text moms. Moms don't text dads. That's the way this works. And I was like, that's really, like, I would have never considered it because I didn't have to text any dads yet, I guess. But now it's like, or if it's a single dad or a situation, like, then I include John on the text.
Yeah, like a safeguard.
Yeah, we're just not. And I was like, that's a really good.
A wise.
A very wise thing to do. So that's a little tip of the day for me.
Mm.
Did you ever think that, or you just never had dads that you needed to text or contact, or they've always been on groups?
I don't think I've really had to contact dads. We have an older couple that we're friends with, and Chris would go over to their house and, like, you know, exterminate their bugs or like do something for him. And the mm-hmm. older couple, their son is one of Chris's best friends.
Oh, okay.
But when the mom texts Chris, the dad is still included. And she said, it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, that's still a safeguard. So she is technically our parents' age.
Yeah.
And she's not texting Chris, another male, unless her husband is on the text too. Like, that's,
I think that's fair.
Yeah, if you're 60 and you've figured that out, like, you're still married, you've done something right. So I think it's a wise practice to start.
I also don't know if we need to keep saying, like, adult friends. Like, we know we're adults. I mean, we may not act like it all the time, but we are adult. It's like, when you go to China, you don't say Chinese food. Like, you just say food. So maybe we should just say friends. I don't know.
Okay.
Even if they were your friends that you made in childhood, they're still your adult friends now. Mm-hmm. So your adult friends from childhood, work friends, mm-hmm. spouse friends, like friends that you met through your spouse that they weren't your friends prior to, right?
Yeah.
Like by introduction. Church friends, club or hobby friends. Like, yeah. I've met a handful of friends at like the art school or...
Like through book clubs.
Book club.
Mm-hmm. Or social media stuff. Like, I'll do blogging. Mm-hmm. Stuff and meet people that way.
Like, yeah. And that's through your work, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. I've never had a gym friend. It always felt weird to meet somebody as a friend. At the yoga studio, like, you have people, like, I don't necessarily talk to them outside of yoga, but when we see each other, we're like, oh, okay, mat next to each other or something like that. Yeah. But that's as far as that friendship goes. But also, I think how I've made the most friends in the last year or two is through social media, like people
online.
I've never met in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, I don't know. I've even had a friendship begin and break up all without ever meeting them in real life.
Full arc.
Yeah.
Like, never face to face.
Yeah. And was like, look, I'm unfollowing you. I don't like what you said. This is why. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's that.
I would agree with that. I think a lot of friends now in 2018, like, a lot of friendships start online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, blogging for almost 10 years, if you started reading my blog in 2009 or 2010, and commented and emailed and we were friends, like, and you had a blog and I would go to that, and then we'd slowly become Facebook friends. And then when Instagram came, we became Instagram friends, and then we'd bump it up a notch and we have like our phone numbers and we text. So I do have friends. Like,
yeah.
I went to Old Navy and bought tried the thing on. I didn't buy it. Went back. They didn't have it my size. I have a friend that lives in California that found it at her Old Navy, bought it for me and shipped it here.
What?
And we're internet friends.
Wow.
When we went out west in our camper for 2.5 weeks, we met up when we were in Nebraska with an internet friend. We had lunch with her family that we'd been like online friends for over 5 years.
That's cool.
So I think that's like a real, I mean, people get married over like through internet
mm-hmm.
relationships.
Why aren't there any friend sites? I mean, I guess that's what social media is, but there's no, well, like, is there?
I mean, before we recorded, when I was prepping, I typed in adult friends on search engine. It's not what I thought it would be.
Is it like the time that I googled adult dance classes? No, it's not adult tap. It's not. It's not that.
I just wanted to take a hip hop class.
And you think I need to install a pole in my garage.
Wait, so I changed my search to like making adult friends, and it was still kind of, there was like adult friender or adult finder apps and things, but they're all a little outside the realm of what we're talking about today. Of just
mm-hmm.
a lot of people. So I found, and I'll link to this in the show notes, an article off of bustle.com, and it said like people make friends through their pets.
Oh, okay.
If you have a cute dog, I might be your friend.
Yeah. But then so often cute dogs, crummy owners.
Oh,
I don't know if that's true. It's like a cute baby.
Yeah, ugly parents.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to be friends with ugly parents.
That's so mean.
That is mean. I've met friends through the app, the Meetup app.
Oh, yeah.
And they do like like, hey, we're having a meetup over, I don't know, there's something for anyone on that app. Mm-hmm. And I originally joined like writers, following writers groups and things like that, just for whatever your interest is. And then seeing what's there. Most of the time I will RSVP and then not go because I am an introvert and like, it sounds good at the time. And then when it's time to go, I'm just like, I can't do this.
I have one of the friends that I met on the internet was, her name is Erin. And I see her like twice a year in person because she lives in Indiana. So mm-hmm. I see her a couple, you know, at specific events. I know that she's going to come and I'll run into her. And then I have another friend and she lives in Texas. And I don't know how long we've been friends, probably since the beginning of the last podcast that I did. But we started, she made the suggestion. She was like, oh, my friends and I always did this pen pal type thing where we would like find odd things around the house and mail them to each other. And she was like, do you want to be pen pals? And I was like, sure, we can be pen pals.
Yeah.
And so now we started strong and then we kind of tapered off. Mm-hmm. And so now it's just like random stuff that we'll just mail to each other. And I keep saying I'm going to go to Texas and visit her someday. And I just haven't made the trip yet.
That's a long trip.
It's a long trip.
I have friends that met their spouses on the internet. Like, it's a legit,
mm-hmm.
you know, we live so much online now that why not make friends on the internet?
I don't know. There's something.
Does it scare you?
A little bit. I don't know. I mean, I guess if somebody's willing to take the plunge and comment on something you posted or vice versa, then.
I mean, you can't be friends with every single person that
no
interacts with you on the internet. Like, that's not.
No, but do you have people that have said that those kinds of things to you? Like, I wish we were friends. We would be such good friends.
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Of just like, you, we would.
Yeah.
We should be friends in real life. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I take that as a compliment. Like, mm-hmm. that you see something in me that seems valuable or.
Mm-hmm.
fun or whatever, but like the margin that I have for more friends is very, very tiny.
I grew up in a family where your family was your friends.
Like your social group was just who.
And not necessarily because like we weren't allowed to have friends outside of the house or anything.
That's a cult.
But on, right, well, there's a little bit of that too.
Okay.
Like every Saturday, all the women in my family, aunts and cousins and moms would all go to one place, whether it was just somebody else's house, and basically sit around the kitchen table all afternoon and eat food and catch up and just talk. I don't know how much can happen in 7 days, but
right.
a lot apparently, because we'd sit there for hours and hours and hours. I mean, and just laugh until we cried and then cry about something that was important. Like, it shaped me, and I think in a way that I thought, this is a safe place, and I don't want to be friends with anybody else. I love these women.
All your needs were met.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then people pass away, and people get sick, and addictions form, and then those relationships are just gone. And it makes me really sad now that I say all of it out loud, that it's, so as an adult, I kind of had to build my own tribe. And basically, I mean, I feel like I do that with mm-hmm. with a couple of sets of friends, but it is different. It's just different, you know. When you're with all of the women that you share a bloodline with, and they are your best friends, and you can tell them everything, and they're there, and they celebrate your becoming a woman, and like all these things, you know. Like, I remember being a young teenager and being so excited to tell them, like, I started my period, you know, like that was such a big deal. I mean, it was a party.
Yeah.
You know, they were proud of me. Like, not that I.
That you had anything to do
with it. Not that I worked towards it, but yeah, that it was just some really big things that happened in my life. And sitting around those kitchen tables, how do you create those bonds as adults with people that you didn't grow up with? That takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think in the world that we live in right now, it's easy to not, we don't have the time to do that because we're all busy. And I don't say that as like a brag. I say it as like a complaint kind of like,
yeah,
we feel like we have to fill every minute and we're not leaving time for relationships outside of who lives in our house.
And maybe there are times that we think that time spent or how long we've been friends, that deserves more energy than actually finding people that contribute to our life in a positive way. And not that I say abandon your friends, but I think that there's a shift, and sometimes you just feel like you owe it to people, even though you know maybe we've outgrown each other.
Right.
I don't know. Friends feel like an investment. I mean, like that's, I mean, obviously of your time, but also your energy. You have to be very careful who you invite into that circle.
I think sometimes maybe you don't know what you're getting into either, because surface level friendship is different than doing life together friendship.
Right.
And so we, you know, like we have, I'm sure we all have a lot of just like surface level, mm-hmm. not acquaintance, but the next level, just friend. But then like going that extra step to be like in each other's lives together, not just for the pretty, but for the ugly, that takes a lot of time. And then it's sometimes when you get to that level, you realize that, oh man, you're not actually somebody that I want to do this with, or you're not healthy enough, or I don't feel safe with you, or a million other things that feel, make it hard to try that again and again, especially if you've been burned.
Visit us at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and podcast extras. Follow us at notterriblepodcast on Instagram or Twitter. We would love to hear your feedback and comments. Leave us a voicemail at 317-662-4066 or email us at notterriblepodcast@gmail.com.
Happens when you realize you got into that level and then you're like, oh, well, this isn't safe, or this is toxic in a way that I can't have in my life. Like, how do you let friendships go?
I block them on my phone.
Move. You just move out of state immediately.
That's a good question. Do you know the last friendship that you ended? Or that was ended?
I don't end very many friendships, but yes, I can remember a friendship that, yes.
I said, this is done.
Yeah, somebody was, a friend I had was making bad choices and not being honest, and I asked her to be honest, and she couldn't. And I said I wasn't going to be a part of this like fake thing that you were doing. I think it's damaging you and hurting you in ways you're not aware of, and you need to be more honest with yourself and others. And she didn't like that, and she blocked me on Facebook. And I was like, well, we're not going to do passive-aggressive end of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sent her a message and said, we're going to either be friends or we're not. You're not going to – we're not going to do this sneaky Facebook stuff. So – I unfriended her and I said, if you want to talk, you know where I'm at. And she's a very proud, I would say arrogant in a very unhealthy, dangerous way. She can't see any of her own faults.
Oh, wow.
And that was the end of that.
Wow.
It's been, say, about 8 years.
Whoa. And you just haven't, nothing?
No.
Huh.
I can see now a lot of things were unhealthy, and I don't wish to be her friend.
Right.
Like, I don't. with the space and the distance, I can see that she was not a good influence or a wise friend to have. But we were friends, you know, from the time we were 14 until...
lost touch with some people, but there's never been like a this is over type thing. I don't think. Might be in the middle of one. I'm not sure yet. I actually don't know how it's going to play out. But I know that I just said, for me, I have to put this on pause for a little bit. And because I actually, it's nothing personal at all. It's just kind of situational. But you know, like normally, like the people you ran around with in college, cause you're all just thrown into this, you know, I just slowly lost touch with people.
Right. Like they just had their time and then slowly ended. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing
natural course of friendship. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's it really. Like that's. I would say any friendship that I've ever, that it feels like it was over, I think we just hit the pause button and then came back later. Or the degree of friendship faded. Obviously, we're not the same people that we were when we were kids. And if the relationship can't grow and meet both of our needs, and not all the time, every day, but as a healthy needed,
back and forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it just kind of... okay, you'll get our Christmas card kind of friendship. And that, I think that's happened more often than not.
Yeah.
But I also, even if I don't like you, I want you to think that I like you. And I want to be your friend. And you call me a friend, even if I don't call you a friend.
Hmm.
It's just because my worth, I think that my worth lies... and other people's opinion of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard. So maybe that's why I don't widen my circle very often. Because the people that are here, I know that they like me. And, if they don't, they're very good at faking it.
Thank you.
That, I don't know. So that's probably a part of it. Just mm-hmm. being safe. Even when I meet new friends, I'm terrified to share views or opinions. Because not meet friends, when I meet people, I'm terrified to share views or opinions because it's like I'm going to say the wrong thing and they're not going to like me. And I know that there have been times where I have said things that I absolutely do not agree with just to not shake the boat, just to not make people uncomfortable. When it's absolutely, it's so far from something that I believe, but it's just like, well, I don't want them to think that I'm the complete opposite of them. So I'm just going to throw this out there and ha ha ha, we'll all laugh and it'll be.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And I am the exact opposite of that. I don't care if you like me. And I will say my thoughts from the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's also a really good way to figure out who should be in and who should be out is because I'm not for everybody. Like, and that's, we don't need to get into a 6-month friendship for you to figure out that I'm too much for you.
Yeah.
I'm be too much at the beginning. If that feels heavy,
mm-hmm.
good day.
I don't know why I do that. It's a terrible thing to do. It's unhealthy. It's ugly. It's a lie. Yeah, here, let's start this friendship on a lie, Jesse. That's a great idea.
But do you think 10 years ago you were aware you were doing that or you were just doing it?
I was just doing it.
So that now you are aware.
Yes.
The next step is slowly starting to change.
Yeah.
Not to hate yourself about it, just to be like, okay, well, somewhere in the past, I figured out that was... how I made friends or how I had to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But you know now that's not who you want to be.
No, because I know that I don't do that. Like within our group of friends, our first Thursday friends, I don't know.
No,
there's no lies.
No.
But it's also a group I'm really comfortable
and
with.
And you're safe there and you know that group is going to love you whether you're ugly or pretty about something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that takes time. And I think for so many people, that's what they're lacking. Like, they don't have those groups of safe friends who love them no matter what. I think that's where a lot of our world is kind of lonely. And for somebody like me who is an introvert, I'm lucky that I stayed close to home and most of my good friends did too, because I don't know how I would, be in a setting where I was, didn't know anyone and had to start over again. I don't think I would have the friend group I do now. And not just because some of them were built in from kindergarten, but just, a whole new place, I'm not sure I would put myself out there. And I think for a lot of people that they're in that same boat and then they're just lonely and stuck and the internet becomes that place for them.
I think that was true for a long time because I didn't work outside of the home. And when I did, I was a substitute teacher. And so literally it was like a 5-mile radius of everything. My entire life was right there. Addie, can I help you, honey?
We're almost done.
What do you need?
Did Harper tell you to get that? Oh, you're a good friend, Addie. You know, Harper was going to be yelled at if she came back. So she sacrificed Addie.
That's funny.
Oh.
That's a good friend.
Her older sister didn't come and get that because she was like, hell no, I'm not going in there.
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Substitute teacher.
Oh, substitute. So, yes. Yeah. So my entire world, friends, children, and even family, all like in a 5-mile radius. And oh my gosh, did that feel small? I think that I almost like regressed in terms of being social and what I thought was important. And I was like, I have to widen my horizons here. I can't do this. I can't just live in this little bubble for the rest of my life. I love where I live.
Yeah, you love your bubble.
I love my bubble, but phew, we gotta drive out of that bubble occasionally.
Yeah, sometimes it feels suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my last question would be, once you have those friendships, how do you maintain them? How do you do that when there's kids and work and hobbies and I have to clean my house because it looks like we're hoarders? Like, how do you, you know, like, balance all of those things and still have relationships that are more than surface level?
I know that by us designating a day, one evening, once a month, that I can look forward to that time. That, okay, we just did it. 4 weeks from now, we're going to do it again. And it feels like enough for me. I mean, we do group text occasionally. There's things like that. I don't know. Like, that really just, that feeds me enough.
Yeah.
In terms of friends.
I think for me, my personality is like, I like a structure and a routine. Mm-hmm. So I do that with all my friends. My friend Ashley, we had Mexican food for lunch once a month for years until she moved away recently. She got married and moved to the north side of the state, like hours away. So, but we had lunch once a month for years. And if my kids had to come, they sat with us or they sat at another table. I see my first Thursday groups once a month. My husband goes to breakfast once, you know, every 2 weeks with a group of guys. Like, I think you set up a routine and you stick to it even when sometimes you're tired or you would rather go home or you have something else to do. Like, you just say, no, I'm doing this. This is important. And even if it doesn't feel important when you're going there, when you're leaving, you know that feeling of like, that was a good evening. That was a good conversation. Or I needed that and I didn't even realize I needed that. So I think a lot of that is just like being intentional. And we have a friend that I hate talking on the phone, but she loves to call people when she's driving. And so I have to answer the phone when she calls because that's what our friendship is. She needs to talk. And so I'm going to answer the phone, even though nothing makes me want to hide faster than when my phone rings.
I know.
The one time you called me, you were like, hey. And I was like, I have never talked to you on the phone before. And we've been friends for a couple decades.
That's true.
Yeah. It was the weirdest. Like, I don't enjoy talking on the phone. But there are also people, my grandma, I don't think it's just a generational thing. I think it's just some people love to talk on the phone. My grandma will talk on the phone for an hour once a day if you called her. Like, she just likes to talk to people about what she's watching on the news, what the squirrels did. Like, some people like to talk on the phone. So if that works for you, schedule a phone date.
Not much of a FaceTimer either.
Mm.
I don't know. I FaceTime people that I don't see regularly, I guess. But I don't even know who that is.
If we're traveling, I'll FaceTime my kids.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, while, you know, them. I don't need to see my face when I'm talking.
I think that that's a part of it, though. Right now, with the climate of everything, there's nothing we need more than human interaction.
Mm.
Like, in real life.
Physically.
IRL, like the kids say.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be in the same space and do whatever humans do.
Mm-hmm. I think when, like, us, this conversation, that there are lulls, that's a normal part of, like, conversation.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting around a table with everyone, like, there are moments where that's quiet. If I'm on the phone with somebody and there's a brief moment of silence, I'm like, well, gotta go. You know, like, so I'm not even leaving space for.
Right.
Maybe somebody, the person I was talking to, was trying to work up the nerve to say something heavy that they wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a moment of silence. And I'm like, well, I've got to make dinner, you know? Or so you're right about, like, that physical and also body language. When somebody's talking to me on the phone, I don't know if they have tears in their eyes.
Right.
I don't know if they look tired and I need to say, are you okay?
Right.
So I think, I hate the term self-care, but I think if you think of friendship as a way of caring for yourself, like, we weren't made to do life alone. And even if you have a husband and or a spouse and kids, that's, you can still feel very alone in that.
We're pack animals. And yeah. We can have multiple packs. You can have different, we have a group of mom, it's like mom football friends, like, our boys play football, and it's kind of sad because once the season ends, we're like, we're not even going to really see each other.
Yeah. See you know? Next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fingers crossed we see each other at some other sporting event, or we get together and play cards, or somebody has a Halloween party or something like that, but that's it.
But you're, like, strong and intense for that season, and then you notice when it's gone, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, but it, but that's the commonality behind it, is that we are all together in a small space. And what I mean is the section of the bleachers we sit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're cheering for one thing. And outside of talking about progress or an injury or
the weather.
Yeah. But still, it's a community and you look forward to that.
It's your space.
Yeah.
For a couple hours whenever the game is going on.
Right. But that's another area where, yeah, at this point in our life, those are the types of groups of friends we have. And my son's going to graduate in 4 years.
Mm.
And then what happens? You know? How do you maintain those friendships that were so intense and close and cheering on your children together? That can be a deep friendship. I know my dad, he has two couples that he's been friends with throughout my brother's entire baseball career, like from second grade. Still friends. Not as tight as they were, obviously, but they still make time for each other occasionally, a couple times a year.
Yeah. I think so. As a teacher, you know, I'm August, we show up, all the teachers show up to, you know, get ready for the school year. So August through May, like, we're in it together. We see each other every day, eat lunch with each other at the same table. We deal with the same kids. We have the same, like, jokes and laughs. And then it's just kind of like being a kid when summer comes. You kind of say goodbye for 2 months, even though you have done life with them and they have known a lot of things about your life for 10 months. And you take 2 months off and then you come back and you pick up right where you left off and you go strong. Like, Christmas break, you don't text your teacher friends and say Merry Christmas. Like, you just know that we're off for 2 weeks and I'll be there when we all come back together and we'll be in the trenches of, you know, teaching middle school or high school together. But the minute when we, there was a pretty tight knit group that I taught with for years. And then one summer, one of our friends passed away unexpectedly in a car accident. And so when we came back in August, everything felt horrible. And right. then we all just started slowly finding new jobs. Like, it kind of broke our group.
Yeah.
It broke us. But there was that like rhythm of being good friends, knowing everything, and then like taking a break and then coming back and being good friends. And maybe that's also just a seasonal, or like a, you know, like the rhythm of most friendships. I can look back and say most of my good friends, it hasn't been consistent, you know, for the moment we met until today. Like, there is a definite rhythm to when you need some people more than others.
I agree. That's true. And you talking about teacher friends reminded me that one of my closest adult friends was my son's kindergarten teacher, and did not anticipate that. And so from kindergarten to, well, Max will be a freshman this year, and I was just with her Friday night. That's a friendship that you don't anticipate.
Right.
But then your kid goes to school and shares something really embarrassing with his teacher, and she calls you and is laughing hysterically and says, I think we're friends now. So, and that's kind of how that one started. It is weird. I guess, I don't know, friendships find you. You don't have to find friendships, really.
I think if you're open, yeah.
Not if you're just under a wool blanket with a book every night by yourself.
That got personal.
Books are my friends. I mean, books are Mary's friends. Yes, I was thinking of you.
You were.
In one of your thrift store blankets.
Rude. This is getting too personal. Stop the recording.
Mine's the same. I'm just on my back patio. And that's why we're friends.
Because we don't want to be around each other. And we both acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. Common interest. That's the key.
Common interest. No friends allowed. All right. Well, tell me, anything good? Anything not terrible this week?
You know what's not terrible this week? Is that I said no to commitments that I had. And I decided to take the week off from job type thing. I was told that I had to practice saying no when I didn't want to do something. So I actually did it. I planned ahead 3 weeks, but I did know that this was the week I was going to say no.
You had to mentally prepare.
I did. And I had to let the people know that depend on me the most that I'm going to say no. So I'm proud of myself. It's baby steps, you guys. Baby steps.
I'm proud of you too.
Yeah.
Because I know you want to please others at the expense of yourself.
Right. So it's a little uncomfortable because I want to call people and say, are you covered? Do you need anything?
Check in.
Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Because other people are adults and they can
handle it.
Yeah, they can handle it.
Yes. Mary, what's not terrible?
Well, at the time we're recording this, we're getting ready to leave on a little trip to go camping with my husband's brother and sister-in-law and their little baby Savannah. So we're gonna be gone for like 4 days in the West Virginia hills, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a niece that we don't get to see often because she lives on the East Coast, and just spending time with my brother and sister-in-law again. We see them at holidays. I knew Chris's brother when he was in high school and kind of a jerk, and he's kind of grown into a not jerk adult. And so I look forward to the time that we're going to spend with them.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. If I could camp every weekend or forever, I would. So it's really, I love being away, and half the time when you camp, you don't have cell phone service, and that is
beautiful.
Yeah, like I would never turn my phone off, but mm-hmm. If I don't have the ability to get texts or to see the internet, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, let's turn the internet off now.
You have been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider.
When you subscribe, leave us a review. We'd love to share it on the podcast, like this one from Family Spellers, who wrote, "It seems like this started just as I needed it. My story is completely different, but the emotions are the same. Thanks for being so open."
Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and the Off the Air podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studios, this has been a Waco production.